Natural attrition.
I don't know how young your listeners are.
I think a lot of them drink a lot of energy drinks, so that's going to be shortening their lifespan.
Yeah, shorten their life a little bit. Welcome to Bunta Vista, episode 402. And hey, it is Saturday night, and you are with your oomphs, with your bras. We've got Harrison, Ethan, Hudson, Julius. The whole crew is here, and we are locked in. We all got fresh perms this morning, and it's all giving. Harrison ate tonight. We are in the beautiful city of Brisbane. And you're looking for somewhere cool to hang out, maybe meet some chicks named Olivia whose face card is never declining. But we all don't drink alcohol or have sex, so what else? Is there a fourth space for us? Hey, Ben, you know what I think would hit different tonight?
What would hit different, Lucy?
I think it would hit different if we hit up Yochi.
There's a lot of them around, huh? I feel like I keep driving past Yochis.
I was going to put this as my stuff we should chat about, but there is a Yochi near where I just moved, and every time I go past the Yochi, it is popping. It is bussing in there.
Really?
It is like lines out the
people
door.
People hanging out?
Yeah. I walked home at like 10:30 last night, and it was like people were pouring onto the streets at the Yochi.
And it's a frozen yogurt.
Yeah.
And acai place.
I was
is
hoping
what I'm
you could kind of
here.
Tell me what the deal is with Yochi.
Why would I be hooked into what the fuck this shit is?
I don't know. Is this some Brisbane culture?
I fuck with Yochi pretty hard.
Oh.
Because it's like a way to eat so much sugar, but trick yourself into thinking that it's healthy. Like, I've had Yochi for dinner before on the way to a gig to be like,
okay,
yeah, man, this is just like low calorie. You get like a bit of frozen yogurt and then just like a half a kilo of like, you know, cherry ripe on top.
Yeah. I guess Yochi is goated when frozen yogurt is the vibe.
Shut up. No, I don't think that's something that we would say. When you say that it's popping off, like walking past it, what, 10 o'clock last night, which is insane opening hours for a frozen yogurt place.
Absolutely.
Are people
insane.
sitting in to dine?
It's packed. Young people. Zoomers. Zoomers are hitting up Yochi.
At 10 o'clock on a Saturday
night.
Eating frozen yogurt, swapping stories.
Investigative journalism out here in the streets of Brisbane.
That's really fucked up.
That's fucked up. Hey, Andrew's also here.
The one issue, I'm sorry to cut Andrew off here. The one issue that I have with Yochi is the dance music is too loud. There's too much dance music in there.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
They're pumping dance music out like it's a fucking blue light disco, man.
Yeah, this is it. This is where the kids are hanging out at Yochi.
That can't be right. I thought they didn't hang out. I thought they didn't have third spaces. I thought they
fourth space, the Yochi.
Okay, well, what's different from a third space and a fourth space? What's the difference you're drawing there?
I don't know. I hadn't really figured it out.
Okay.
Third and a half space.
The extra half is frozen yogurt.
Yeah, it's third and a half because it's half the calories.
Oh.
Yes.
Wow, look at that. So fucking 10:30 close on a Friday and a Saturday for frozen yogurt. That's fucking
really
obscene. That's bizarre.
Don't care for it. So Andrew's here. His hair is pretty bussin'. I don't think we say bussin' anymore, but I'm saying it kind of ironically, like a throwback kind of thing. And hey, Zoomers, you're going to look back on these words the same way that we look back on doggo and adulting, just so you know.
Yeah. I never said any of those though, so I'm safe. I'm free from criticism.
Okay. Also with us is very serious, very important classical pianist and stand-up comedian Aidan Jones. Aidan, thank you for coming to the Yochi this evening,
which you apparently hit up all the time. It was so conversationally delivered that I didn't realize you were doing a monologue and I had no idea that I was interrupting.
No, that's perfect.
I apologize for both.
It is obscene that a podcast would have a monologue in it, and it's odd that we've baked one into the show. But
yeah. I'm not really sure why we've done that.
We were trying to explain it before the show. It's hard. It's hard to explain. It's hard to prepare someone for. Just kind of sit back. Maybe you'll get the vibe of when you're meant to jump in. It's like being invited to join like double Dutch skipping and nobody explains what's going on, you know?
That's
Yeah.
Other
so
people
true.
Are just jumping really in. It seems natural to them, you know? It seems natural. When do I jump in?
They make
also,
it look so easy.
I can't skip with these ropes flying around everywhere. These two are doing it in time.
I know a bunch of people that they come from a circus family, mm-hmm. and that like anytime we've got like a there's a large party or something going on,
circus tricks.
Yeah, well, at like 11 o'clock at night when everyone's like quite drunk and on a lot of drugs, a giant skipping rope will just emerge at some point and there'll be entire family just starts doing crazy skipping tricks. Pretty weird.
That's pretty weird.
But if you're one of the people on drugs, pretty cool.
Good.
Pretty awesome. Can I tell you guys about a bit of podcast detritus I found just before we started recording?
Uh-huh.
I was walking the dog nearby to my house, and on the ground I saw a little piece of paper with some handwriting on it, which obviously I'm picking up because I'm like, well, this could be a key note for the plot of
important.
My life.
Could yeah, be a map to
could
some
unlock another area or something. And it was a piece of cardboard that had podcast branding on it. On the back, it had a two Memoji-style portraits of some people at some microphones. It said the Thrive Hive podcast on it.
Okay.
And then on the other side was what had previously, I assume, been a blank white space that someone had written in something recent that I'm proud of myself for.
Oh.
So I guess... These had been handed out or something, or they're something that you purchase and then you write down some prompts for little affirmations or something.
Uh-huh.
But it was abandoned in a park. It was on the ground in a park that's not near any sort of live podcasting venue as far as I can tell, because Brisbane doesn't have those. Yeah, absolutely fucking mystifying.
Are you ready for a twist?
Thrive Hive podcast?
Are you ready for a twist in this story, Ben?
Yes, I fucking am.
The Thrive Hive, SA's best personal development podcast aimed at extracting knowledge from those that have traveled the road to success before us. Our vision is to learn and share this valuable information with you, our Thrive Hivers. We will be conversing with various SA industry leaders, entrepreneurs, and people of influence who have revolutionized the scene, speaking about everything from money to mindsets, habits to fitness, mental health to business motivation, and so much more. There is a huge gap in South Africa.
Yeah.
Not South Australian.
Oh!
Oh!
Shit!
I just someone's found the Instagram.
Someone's written down affirmations for a South African self-improvement podcast?
What the fuck? Do you think people that listen to the podcast describe themselves as having Thrive Hives?
They're patients.
Oh.
What? Does this... Why would... I mean, they can't be like touring in Australia. That would be obscene. Why would there be a physical token from the online experience of a podcast?
That's the part. I'm not marveling at there being podcasts in South Africa. Just at the location of somebody has bought, like you said, a physical totem has traveled here.
Hmm. Okay.
Also, their Instagram is the most recent post is 8 March 2022.
Huh. Oh, maybe it's all over.
Do you want to hear what it is? Because this is good stuff, and I actually think that you guys might benefit from this.
Good.
Three powerful moves. One, step back.
Yes.
Two, ooh. Observe.
Mm.
Three, come back stronger.
Damn.
Those are three very powerful moves. Both
I'm writing that down on a piece
of
paper right now.
Together. Yep.
Okay, so to add another twist here, there's multiple Thrive Hives. And none of them appear to be the one that I was looking at.
Maybe someone was doing up some material for a podcast they'd like to create.
Oh.
You know, they were like, I'm going to doodle some stuff together. I'm going to write some affirmations for myself on the back, maybe to help my new podcast idea come to life. And then they Googled Thrive Hive and went, fuck. And threw the paper on the ground.
It's
already
funny
like
that
16
were,
Thrive Hives.
If they were doing that level of planning for a podcast, they've already done more work than 95% of every podcast ever.
Oh, that's true. People tell us our conversations are funny. I've bought two microphones.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not denigrate the impulse to start a podcast. Hey, I'm sure lots of people have thought about starting a podcast because they've had some funny conversations with their friends. We find out what lots of people think about some stuff in a segment we call The Poll Report. It's time for The Poll Report.
It's the Cold Stone, it's the Cold Stone, it's the Cold Stone.
to us from a poll commissioned by resume.org. 7 in 10 Gen Z workers outsource emotional intelligence to AI.
Ooh.
That's good. That feels nice to hear those words
great.
In that order.
That feels so good.
I suddenly feel like I need to take a shit.
Deep tummy hurts.
Feeling in the pit of my stomach.
AI chatbots are becoming artificial mediators for Gen Zers. I'm trying to say the American, the Australian Z. It doesn't work when you're
doesn't
doing
really
it.
Doesn't really work. Yeah.
Gen Zers.
Yeah, Gen Zers. Based on this survey, 76% of full-time Gen Z workers use AI chatbots.
Oh, man.
Of that group, 94% have used the tool to navigate a workplace issue. For many, this isn't just an occasional habit. In fact, 27% say they do this all the time and 40% do so often.
That is no bueno. I mean, on top of the fact that there's already plenty of people in the office environment who just pump everything into there and go, write this up for me.
Yeah.
Hey, just knock this up real quick.
Doing it for work is one thing.
You're offloading your boring make work.
Interaction, though, is something else.
Oh, yeah. I was listening to our friends over at Down Round a little while ago, and they were talking about, this sort of thing, the use of AI for your regular interactions with people. And they said, I'd just seen somebody posting this thing from sending their boss a message that said, you know, hey, I'm not going to be able to come in today. I'm feeling sick. Sorry about that. And their boss has messaged back, hey, no worries. Rest up, and I'll see you in a couple of days. As an AI chatbot, I am modeled to do, and they just copied this whole thing from a chat window. And the point that they were making on the show, the point that Raph was making on the show was, like, at what point have you outsourced so much of your ability to think about literally writing a sentence back to someone? You're somebody's boss. Like, you should be able to do that. That should be fine for you. How is it less effort to type a prompt into a fucking thing saying, my employee's sick, what should I say to them? Mm. And then copying that out and putting it back in something else, rather than how have you, like, smoothed all the edges off your brain so fast that you don't have the ability to go, hey, that's cool, see you when you're better.
This is actually something that you learn, like, this is me speaking as a boss, that these are skills that you have to sort of refine over time. And instead of putting something into ChatGPT and saying, how do I nicely respond to this? How do I sort of demonstrate that I care? I just reply, okay, full stop, all lowercase. And then just sort of let them stew on it for a little while.
I definitely think that kind of conversation is like a real, any sort of like interpersonal issue in a workplace environment is some real steel hardened steel shit. Where you just have to get the practice of having conversations with people that not everyone is comfortable with all the way through in order to, like, understand what's happening and to get better at doing it. Like, the more you are outsourcing this stuff, the faster you're going to completely lose the ability to do this. What? I got a colleague at work who I know uses, like, a chatbot thing a lot in their personal life. And at my work, they had rolled out like a pilot program of Microsoft Copilot. So everyone just had Microsoft Copilot on their computers. And then at some point, it just like went away again. I found out because other people started saying, where did Copilot go? And I
was like, oh, that's funny.
We had Copilot? yeah, but there was a bit of a conversation about it. But there's like one colleague who every couple of days is like, does anybody have Copilot access back yet? Has anybody found out about when we're going to get it back yet? Like, and sort of keeps asking, and it makes me go, like, have you just lost the ability to, like, put a paragraph together for work?
Yeah.
Is that what's happened here? It's not good. Don't do that.
I mean, maybe, like, the fact that it said 76% of Gen Z people in full-time work, if we think about that sample of people, like, how old are Gen Zs? What are they, like, 25?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah. I can never remember what the cutoff is. Is it like 2000?
Yeah, I feel like it's something like that. I mean, my brother's 96, and I feel like he's born in 96, and I think he's like cusp. And so if you're in full-time work and you're in Gen Z, you're a swotty little fucking nerd. Like, I mean, there, the, all the people that have, like, you know, interesting conversations to have that are 25, they don't have full-time jobs, you know? Yes. They're still out there in life just fucking up and being dickheads. So, yeah, I don't know. I didn't know anyone when I was 25 who had a full-time job. And if I think this is a very
accurate read, actually. All the people that I all the people that I've worked with over the last couple of years who have kind of like come in via a graduate program or like early in their career, you know, it's exactly what you're talking about. It's always like someone who's about 25 and you're like, yeah, you sure did go straight through all of school and come right here. You got on the bus from school and you arrived here.
And then you're like, and then they're like, oh, there's a tool that can help me talk to people without having to think. Perfect, you know? Done. Like,
I can say as well, it does not help that in corporate environments, it's 100% getting pushed as like, oh yeah, this thing, it can like help with productivity and help in all these areas. And yeah, there's lots of like talk from upper management and upper leadership of like, you know, we've got to harness the power and the potential of AI. We've got to harness the potential of Skynet, you know?
I don't think this is particularly generational either. I think if they had done this as a broader sample, I feel like there would be a shitload of millennials and Gen millennials X people doing the exact same fucking thing.
Even boomers, maybe. Yeah. Who knows?
Oh, that's a terrifying thought.
That is a terrifying thought.
I guess,
thought.
You know, we're being very critical, but at the same time, who's to frown upon, you know, the humble worker hearing the message, hey, you can offload some of your work.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't care about them offloading their work. It's the offloading, like, you know, real conversations. Because as we've all seen the screenshots, the AI is just a machine that tells you that you are valid and everything that you think is correct. Yeah.
The validation.
I better put it
robot
into the agreement machine. Oh, yeah. I'm right.
Oh, yeah. I was right.
Oh.
I think right, if there was valid. One thing, if there was one way to improve the office environment, it would be to make it more impersonal. I think that would be great.
Yeah, definitely. Fuck.
Well, that's the problem, though, is that like those, yeah, like actual interpersonal conversations are the only like actual human interaction that you're getting in an office, you know?
Mm.
When I was like 19, the only time I've ever worked in an office, I worked as a temp for St. John's Ambulance in Adelaide, like 3 days a week. And as the part of the handover, this is weird lore from my life. There was another guy who was doing it 2 days a week and we had a communications book. But like, it was a bullshit job. We were just like photocopying stuff, laminating things, organizing files or whatever. So in the handover book, I just took to writing like I would look up a bit of poetry and write like a bit of poetry in the handover book for this guy who I never met. It was just like this person. Oh. Like, we dance around in a ring and suppose while the secret sits in the center and knows. And I just imagine what that would have been like. You know, maybe the Gen Z version of that is like, hey, ChatGPT, what's an inspiring message I can leave a stranger?
It fucking depresses me so much about this is that this isn't like, it's not, if these statistics are even vaguely correct, it's not like one person doing this in their conversations with someone who's not. It is two-way
robot conversations happening
what
everywhere.
What is the fucking point of being
Why don't
alive?
We all just die?
Oh, reading those things where they were like interviewing people like in higher education in America at the moment, like people who've bothered to get into like Columbia University, and they're like, oh yeah, I use fucking AI for like all of, I used it for my entrance essay, I used it for like all my assessment and everything, I use it for just absolutely everything. And the interviewer's like, so like what are you doing here then? Why did you come to the university for the learning? And the guy's like, it's a great place to meet a co-founder and a wife.
Whoa.
Which is like
kill
the most
guy.
Depressing sentences.
We gotta push that guy off the nearest cliff ASAP.
Fucking involuntary ADA stupor, that man, now.
But then like in the UK, they've also just handed down guidance to teachers that's like, yes, you can use AI to help with like marking homework and shit from kids.
Wow. And oh, so I saw that.
Yeah, if we get to this point where it's like the students are using the AI to generate the work and the teachers are using the AI to mark it, it's like, can't we all just fucking stay home and watch TV then and give up the artifice?
Yeah.
The things that I see about like people getting the like Gmail or whatever to write their email for them or ChatGPT and then getting the other person receiving it and getting it summarized, where I'm like, well, we just like burnt down like 5 trees so that you guys could not talk to each other. I hate it so much. It makes me sick. What do we do?
I love talking to people at work. It's my favorite part of work. I like sitting at a desk by myself and being left alone.
I don't understand. Something is going to atrophy. Like, something is going to happen. I don't know. Gen Z workers' most common request is for help interpreting the tone of written messages. 75% say they've asked a chatbot to analyze the tone of an email, Slack message, or other digital communication. Just over half have used AI to better understand a conversation or interaction that made them feel bad, and a similar share have used it to interpret feedback from their manager. About 31% say they've used AI to analyze a disagreement with someone at work.
Fuck, that's...
Yeah.
Fuck.
Like...
Is my manager mad at me, ChatGPT? Yeah.
And like from first principles, I think this is sort of wrong and stupid because you're not gaining any sort of social skills or emotional skills whatsoever. But also, the machine is frequently wrong.
It's like most of the time wrong, and it also just agrees with you. You're going to be right in every interaction, shockingly.
Do you know the best way to find out if you've fucked up at work and if you... You know, maybe you need to change the way you're doing something is to ask the person. Is if you feel like your boss is freezing you out a bit, or like maybe you've sort of fucked up.
Yeah, text your boss. Are you mad at me?
Are you mad at me?
try talking to the other people involved and trying to figure out what's going on instead of just going, well, that's the end of my interaction with them. Time to throw these bones.
Man.
Time to turn to the seeing stones and see if I can divine some meaning for this.
Time to do some fucking laptop Harry Spexy to figure out how to ask my boss if I'm not hitting my KPIs. Like, and these conversations are so fucking hard to have. That is why developing them is a skill. But like, how about you ask another fucking human being? Do you have an older colleague that you like that also works in the same department where you can be like, I think this boss is like kind of pissy at me about my work, but I'm not sure. You know how to read his facial expressions. You tell me, how should I have this conversation? Like, don't fucking sit there and ask your laptop, which knows nothing about anything. It's just stringing together words that will, in summary, be like, nah, you're good.
No, I've got an idea. Instead of gaining the experience like that, we should have a seminar where everyone goes in a room and we just look at different pictures of different people's faces together. And there's a worksheet where you write down like what emotion you think that face is representing. Then we're graded out of 100 and ordered and kind of ranked. And then that's reflected in our weekly pay.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
We pay autistic people the least.
Yeah. And we just do that instead of lunch on Wednesdays.
I mean, we'll feel free to bring your lunch.
Bring your
obviously.
Lunch.
Yeah.
You can eat, but it will probably affect your score. So
yeah, the people that are doing really badly are actually struggling with the sound of you eating your food.
Yeah. Oh, come to the brown bag paycheck redistribution meeting. Would love that. Hey, before we go any further to the very end of the show, we've been trying to help people plug things more upfront in the show.
Yeah, I think the 31-minute mark, perfect.
Yeah,
ideal. You'll probably edit a few minutes out. It's more like 29-minute mark.
Yeah, last actually, I should full. Never say the actual time.
Yeah, don't do that.
At the 57-minute mark.
People are like, it's weird. We're 15 minutes into the show. I wonder how many slurs have been dropped. No, talking about this makes me think of Aiden's current comedy show that he's touring, where, amongst other things, you get to hear about how many jobs he's been fired from in his life. is a great bit in there, but it's a wonderful show. I went and saw it when he was in Canberra recently. Chopin's Nocturne. You get to hear some wonderful classical piano. You get to hear about Chopin's life story. You get to hear about doing MDMA and shitting yourself on the train, you know? It's a wonderful show. I enjoyed it very much. So did everybody else at the show I was at. Bunta Vista Hive. Go and watch this show in Melbourne. It's coming up.
The 7th and the 15th of July.
And this will come out today, so you have plenty of time to get tickets.
You've got plenty of time. You've got, frankly, no excuses.
If it's it's end of financial year, you know, get this to, I mean, it's not a charitable donation, but if you need to balance out your books somehow.
Yeah. If you are a professional comedian and this counts as research, buying a ticket, this could be a deductible for you for e-coffee.
Or if you can somehow, you know what, ask ChatGPT how you might make this, you know, count for research in your business.
Get legal and financial advice from ChatGPT. That is legal and financial advice from us, Bunta Vista.
That's right. Laughter is the best medicine, and you could be claiming this as a therapeutic activity.
That's right.
Is that a deductible?
It can be if you write it up vaguely enough.
Okay.
Or also, if there are any people in the UK, I'm going to the Edinburgh Fringe. I'm doing it at Summer Hall from the 31st of July to the 25th of August. For any Bunta heads up in the UK.
Yeah, we got a couple of Fringe fanatics for sure. They'll go to a bunch of those things.
That's right. Get out there, tell Aiden Bunta Vista sent you.
Yeah.
You know? And if nobody says that to you at any of the shows, Aiden, we're gonna feel really hurt.
Yeah.
Feel very sad.
And so actually, if people were like, oh, maybe I'll come, maybe I won't, but now they're like, they have a response, like, that's actually a good way to guilt people into coming.
Emotional,
I really
blackmail,
like that. Kind of manipulative. Right. That's good.
Aiden's happiness is in your hands, put this to listeners of the UK.
Go and prove that you love us and also comedy, you know.
Yeah, if you love
you don't
us,
like
you
comedy
go.
But you've been listening to this show, that's kind of hurtful.
Yes. Most Gen Z workers aren't vague about the details. About 85% say they share both sides of the conflict when describing the situation to AI, while 15% admit they only present their side. Additionally, 65% share screenshots or paste messages to provide more context.
Put those private workplace conversations into that, someone else's computer.
Jesus fucking Christ.
This
right,
is
so 15%
so bleak.
Of people are honest? Is that
this
what we're
is
saying? 15% of people are telling the truth about how they have an argument? Man, there's nothing more reliable in the world than asking a human being to describe something that made them feel bad emotionally.
Yeah, I bet people are going to have a really objective view when they're putting it into the agreement machine. Fuck. When asked to describe how they've used AI to navigate workplace issues, Gen Z workers shared a wide range of emotionally charged, often sensitive situations. Many of these scenarios involved miscommunication, unclear tone, or direct conflict with managers or co-workers. Here are some of the responses Gen Z workers provided to our open-ended question. First one here. My manager said some ageist comments to me. I used AI to see if the comments were actually ageist or if I was overthinking it.
Oh, wow. You wrote the word ageist in there and the algorithm agreed with you that it was ageist? Shocking.
What do you mean ageist?
Like,
did your boss make fun of you for not knowing who Pink Floyd are?
Did he say bussin' to you?
Did they ironically say words they think Zoomers say?
They comment on your perm in the workplace?
Ask you if he's choogy.
My skinny jeans choogy. You have to tell me. Or are they bussin'? When my co-workers were clashing and I asked what I could do. Robot, how can I help? How can I help my co-workers?
Why don't you ask them?
Yeah.
Fucking idiot. Jesus Christ.
One of my co-workers stated that I wasn't doing my job correctly, but I was doing my duty as a worker. I talked to her about it and what she thought I could improve on. She gave me some feedback, so I shared it with GPT and got some solutions.
Oh, okay. Some solutions to the feedback.
Yeah.
Solve this feedback for X.
Yeah.
This is how, so...
Well, like, this is literally asking somebody a question, being given an answer, and then telling the computer, explain the answer to me, right?
It feels like
help me
adding
understand the
one
answer.
Layer between you and any semblance of, like, conflict or confrontation.
Just have
like,
a think.
That
maybe
if it's
just
mediated
have a think about
through
it.
Chat. Yeah. Or like look at the feedback and be like, what could I do to address this feedback?
just doesn't hurt as much coming from the computer.
Well, you know? I genuinely think this might be the thing. That,
yeah,
like,
I think that's definitely
it's
it.
Given to you neutrally by a friendly voice because you've asked your ChatGPT to only give you answers in Jamaican patois. But it's
not. Ben, I cannot tell you how much we are mind synced. I was floating between asking ChatGPT to give me the feedback as the Happy Rasta or Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah. See, I think that would really... Like way...
And what would that sound like?
If your boss is
would. It would. Rasta Jar Jar.
I never considered before. I mean, maybe this is a thing that you guys are already... Jar Jar Binks is doing patois, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He's
yeah,
pretty like doing that. A patois.
He's no shit.
The patois idiot.
Wild. And they've still somehow managed to make that alien white.
Except performed by a black man.
Is yeah. Really? Like,
yes. The performer who is being Jar Jar Binks is a person of color.
So tall, skinny black guy with like the costume on, the vest and everything, and and like ping pong balls up on his head where you should be looking at Jar Jar's eyes. He had sunglasses on so you wouldn't look at his eyes.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy.
It's really good. Definitely look up photos of like Jar Jar Binks set photos. It is it's delightful.
Yeah.
Truly
and
tremendous.
Of course, I think there's some pretty well documented historical criticisms of George Lucas and his relationship to portraying black people and space abstractions of black people. And, you know, they're fair enough. And that's why by the third prequel, like, Jar Jar's just kind of a dignified senator.
Dignified-ish.
Well, he's just sort of standing around at that point and saying things politely, you know? Yeah. He's
mostly
not...
just says, Addy! Really excitedly. I think that's most of his lines.
Yeah.
Fucking, this is so stupid, but yesterday... I had a specific spoonerism pop into my head and I was like, where have I heard someone say this before? And I realized it was something Jar Jar Binks says in one of the movies. I wasn't thinking about Star Wars. Wasn't thinking about anything. The words Dello Felligatz popped into my head while I was like lying on the couch.
Oh, because he's bad at talking in front of the Senate.
Yes, that's right. Because he's sort of a buffoon. Good
can
stuff.
Can we make that picture the cover art, please?
Andrew, you better believe I had already downloaded it for exactly that purpose.
Getting a real mind meld going on.
We're drift compatible. I asked ChatGPT to read an email from my passive-aggressive boss and compile a list of all phrases, words, and figurative language that could be considered a microaggression.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. I tell you what fucking workplace wants to hear about is... passive-aggressive language being put back to them as a microaggression.
I mean, it's the only way office workers know how to communicate to each other, for one. Like, passive-aggressive language is the native language of the office because everyone that works in an office either starts as a psycho or becomes a psycho because of the psychos around them.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I wish there was a way to fix it. I wish they weren't like that. ChatGPT is not going to help you, and unfortunately... telling your like 45-year-old coworker or boss that they did a microaggression to you is not, it's not going to happen. Like, they're not going to receive it well. And I'm not saying that's a good thing. I don't endorse that. It is just the sort of sentence to come out of a young person's mouth that will be dismissed entirely, if not laughed at.
If we think about this in terms of the class struggle, does like the kind of middle and upper classes leaning on ChatGPT make them less emotionally capable, and so the working classes eventually are able to emotionally manipulate them out of their capital? Is that a positive spin on this situation?
I think maybe that the people holding the larger balance of power in their hands having less emotional intelligence could ultimately be detrimental.
Yes. ChatGPT, how do we solve the hunger crisis? Oh, we eliminate who? Well, that doesn't do much for me emotionally, so let's get
You saying, so the human input into the computer, hunger equals bad, so anyone who's hungry is an enemy.
How do we solve climate change? Oh.
My boss told me I was wrong, and I didn't think I was. I asked AI how it would interpret the situation.
Yes, I asked it to agree with me.
You got to understand the psychology of the boss. This is not going to fucking help you at all.
Right.
Finally, one of my coworkers stole one of my clients who she visibly saw was labeled as mine. I was very upset and needed some advice on how to handle the conversation properly and professionally.
Well, number one, you can't own people.
You know? Yeah, that's thank awesome. Yes. That was my income stream.
That was my
unit.
Person. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, this is such a classic office situation. That's one of the first sentences you learn in passive aggression is you go, oh, interesting. You're working with that guy.
Oh, that's funny. They were in the system as my client. How did you wind up? Did someone tell you to pick that client up? I assume you must have been directed to because the label was right there with my name on it. It says Andrew on it. Like my fucking lunch in the fridge. Are you just going around eating everybody else's lunch out of the fridge? Getting like very visibly agitated.
That ends with a headbutt. That just, you know, that should end with a headbutt, that situation.
You got to play it a little more low-key. You got to first spend a month.
You did eat my lunch?
You got to spend a month spreading rumors that the person has a substance abuse problem. And then at the end of that month, that's when you sort of goad them into fighting you. You go, oh, my God. Oh, you're all hopped up on drugs.
Oh. I feel upset. I feel upset right now.
Macroaggression. For many Gen Z workers, why is it so hard for me to say Zed? I don't know what's going on here. For many Gen Z workers, talking through
a
workplace.
You watch a lot of movies. You watch a lot of movies.
Fucking TV. Americans. We're getting Americanized.
Did you spell Americanized with an S or a Z?
I did in my head just then. I did it with a Z. For many Gen Z workers, talking through a workplace conflict with AI leads to a shift in how they feel and act. After using a chatbot to process a situation, 43% say they feel more confident in their perspective. About 38% feel validated.
Do. Yep, there it is.
37% feel calmer or less emotional. Yes. Yeah, because you're moderating it through the fucking robot.
Like, I do think this is a lot of the appeal, is like it removes that sort of anxiety because you're, you know, removing yourself from the interaction.
Happy Ruster is telling you.
Exactly. Yeah. Happy Ruster is telling you.
How interesting that a lack of emotions is considered a good outcome. I feel less emotional, and that's positive.
Fuck. Yeah. That's,
you know,
dire.
That's why I like ChatGPT and these pills that I take every 3 hours.
Well, that's the kind of damning thing, isn't it? That like this is the part that's actually hard to solve about any of these situations is that interactions between human beings are messy and complex and opaque. Yeah. Like you can't tell what other people are thinking. There are times, you know, that I genuinely have to remind myself. Me and my wife Eleanor have been together for like 15 years or whatever now. She'd know the number of years. I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not that numbers kind of guy. But like, you know, you've occasionally just got to remind yourself, oh yeah, we're like separate people. You don't know everything that someone else is thinking. You got to check in. You got to ask about stuff. But like that's with someone that I have like an immense familiarity with that we spent so many years talking to each other. Anybody on the street, it's just like you got no fucking idea.
No, Andrew, you should start asking ChatGPT what your wife thinks.
What's
I think you'd get a much
thinking?
More objective answer.
Is what's my going wife, through this broad's head?
Is my wife mad at me and wrong?
You know? Like, is she a narcissist?
First of all, my liege, yes and yes.
But yeah, I think that all of this stuff are things where like in order to navigate these kinds of issues, it's just unclear. That's part of the nature of interacting with other humans is that it's just not really clear. And you can ask people things very directly, and depending on the human being you ask, some people will give you an honest answer, and some people will say some bullshit. Some people will say something that's like self-serving or what they think they're supposed to say in a situation, and it's not always clear to you which one of those things is happening. Sometimes you have to have the experience of like interacting with the same person about an issue several times to go, oh, now I get what this person's deal is, you know? Yeah. But you got to have the interactions to like build up a bit of context and a bit of knowledge and figure out how to proceed with this person. If you just ask the computer, oh, was I right? And it goes, yeah. And
you're going to turn into a worm. You're going to turn into a little fucking worm.
Your brain's
going to
atrophy. You're
worm.
A little worm. Everything about you, worm.
Just fucking, you got to, What are we doing? Like, why is this? What do you want to happen in your life? You're getting it to generate your work. You're getting it to generate the conversations that you have with people. You're probably going home and getting one of the ones that doesn't have like the safe for work filter on it to generate like MPreg Sydney Sweeney fucking images. What are we doing here? You may
what
as well
we
just
doing?
Like put yourself into a fucking medical coma and then sort of ride out the rest of your life that way.
Hey, now we're talking.
They put a tube in you for the
actually
stuff that goes
sounds
in.
Quite soothing.
A tube for the stuff that comes out. And maybe they leave you just awake enough that you can be dazzled by light coming through the window at the right angle and the play on the dust motes every now and then. But nothing more taxing than that.
Can they set me up in like a, is it Logan's Run? Where they take you to a nice little euthanasia room and
Green where they put you in the euthanasiatorium.
Yeah. But what if it was that, but also they didn't have to kill me right then, but they just let me like, yeah, and they've got a nice big TV going on the wall and I just get to watch movies.
Sometimes I worry that like this is such a cyclical thing to have some sort of thing that we do automated and then to have people throughout history be like, this is it. This is the end of society, whatever. So I'm
always we're actually right in this one. Like I'm conscious of that, but I think this is absolutely correct. This is the end one.
I don't think that like movable type, I don't think like the printing press gave people the option to tap out from interacting with the world around them while still being
a
part of it.
Press. I'm a Neo-Luddite.
Oh, kill
movable
you,
type.
Gutenberg.
We should have kept that type fucking static, man. Yes. I don't want any type moving. I just read that Stephen Fry book Mythos, the Odyssey one, Odyssey or whatever, the one about the Greek Odyssey, mm-hmm. and it's the last of his series of four Greek myths books. And in the summary, he's talking about how at the start of the Greek myths, the world was full of gods and like gods, you know, like moved everything, and it was gods fighting with each other. And over these kind of series of myths, by the end of the Odyssey, the gods are really taking a back seat, and it's like men and humans who are moving. And he kind of uses that as an analogy for our current time and how like humans used to be the things driving history, and maybe we're seeing like in the middle of those myths like God's stepping back, maybe humans are stepping back, and this next thing of computers is coming forward. I mean, like, there it is, in the spaces between humans cometh the machine, you know, two ChatGPTs talking
to each
other.
God in the machine, it's happening.
And then maybe eventually that space gets so big and it just squeezes humans out, but we don't even notice. Maybe it won't even be that painful. Maybe it will be like the euthanasia machine on a species level. And we all just go, as like flashing images just go in front of our faces. And I, for one, welcome our...
as long as the images are good.
Yeah, well, if the images are good.
Oh, obviously.
If the sounds and images are nice. Yeah. Hey, here's something that's really fucking depressing. A lot of people use ChatGPT to generate the things they say to each other on dating apps.
Yes.
Can you imagine when both people on each end are moderating their conversation through? We're arriving at like the mean person. Like if everyone's moderating their shit through the one central communication funnel, we're all becoming the average person by our outputs and inputs.
We're becoming normal.
We're all becoming.
And the machine's learning from the cumulative input that everybody's putting in, right?
We're becoming the standard deviant. Yes.
About bussing.
Like the fucking everyone's already bad on the apps. Like half the dudes out there are going to like the men's health website for like best opening lines for Hinge or whatever.
Yeah.
Imagine ratcheting that up to be like, hey, what's something I can say that's a little bit funny, a little bit flirty, and increases my chances of getting this dick wet?
Hey, it's all a numbers game, brother. It's about playing the percentages.
Moneyball.
Moneyball.
ChatGPT, can you help me Moneyball Hinge? Oh, man. I just don't use it. This is general advice for everyone. I don't care if it makes you like drudgery, boring ass, horrible office job that you hate easier. This is going to make you as a person worse.
And if you have used it, it's not too late to stop. Like, yeah. You can just admit the error of your ways. Let's get off this thing.
The money balling hinge analogy is just like fucking ugly people that you don't like, but regularly, right?
Yeah, to get the numbers
it's about
up.
It's about getting on the base.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. How about instead of 1-8 every 2 months, how about 23s a week?
Yes.
Yeah, dude. That's 60, you know, as opposed to 8. There you go. There's your numbers.
Moneyball.
That's Moneyball. I've had sex with so many people. Oh, were they good looking? Did you like it? So many people.
It doesn't
matter. You guys are
matter,
joking, but this is the average male mindset, I reckon. Yeah.
There is another podcast episode out there, at least one that's saying exactly the same thing, but no one's laughing.
But genuinely. Yeah.
Oh. That's the rule 34 of podcasting.
Yeah. There's a non-ironic
for every ironic conversation, there is a non-ironic equal.
Oh, I feel sick. Among Gen Z workers who use AI chatbots to navigate workplace issues, 35% say they rarely or never disagree with how the chatbot interprets a situation.
Because it's always agreeing with you, of
because
course.
It's agreeing with
and you.
You
say, oh, it's objective because I put in both sides of the conversation. Yeah. You know, you can just get a group of girls to do this for you. Like, ask one of your friends, is this guy a narcissist? And she will say, yes.
Every single woman in that group chat will say, absolutely. Lock
You've
him up.
You've done nothing wrong ever in your life.
He's criminally insane. It should be an Arkham Asylum. And you're perfect.
Women exist, like humans exist to do this for you already.
Get
just
some
ask
gay
one
friends.
Of your friends. Get some friends.
Oh, get some
get
fucking
yes
friends.
Men. Get some yes men around you.
Get a posse of homosexual yes men who support your every endeavor. Don't fucking leave it to the computer. Additionally, 17% say using AI in this way has made them less likely to take personal responsibility, and 43% say the chatbot reinforced their own biased reaction or beliefs.
Cool.
So 43% of people know that it's doing it, and 57% of people have no fucking idea.
Yep. I know, but I don't care. That's what counts.
Man.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Hey, how about instead of putting all of your work problems at your full-time job into ChatGPT, why don't you take a year off to work 20 hours a week at a Woolworths and spend the rest of the time smoking weed? We talk about weed in Weed Watch. This comes to us from WVIT in Connecticut. Cannabis companies will now deliver products to some shoreline concert venues.
Nice.
The future is fucking amazing. Not here. Like, we don't have the future, but the future is amazing for other places. When you walk in through the gates of the Westville Music Bowl or the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheatre for a summer concert, there's a new option available. Quote, I think music and cannabis go hand in hand, the way that alcohol and music have gone for many, many years, said David Salinas, owner of High People.
Is this like the first guy figuring out that weed and music?
Weed and music?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I know we've all had 24 beers and listened to all of Rush, but but hey, I tried something new out.
This is quite interesting, actually. Just on the weekend, I smoked the entirety of a marijuana cigarette, and then I listened to a Pink Floyd album, and I got to say, it was pretty neat. Huh. There's something about it really kind of made sense. His company will deliver products to concert goers this summer at the Westville Music Bowl. Quote, you order online, you prepay. We have prepayment technology that you can use. So you make your payment, then you choose this address as the address for delivery, and then we'll have it there in secure storage for you to pick up, Selena
at
said.
At the venue. Oh,
wow, at like a lockbox? Like a weed lockbox?
Yeah, they give you like, they put it in a weed lockbox for you to go and get in the intermission of whatever the fuck you're seeing.
That's really cool, actually.
It feels
at the intermission of Wicked the Musical.
That's right.
Can you take it in with you?
I think you must be able to. Like, if you can legally smoke it there or have your edibles or whatever, you've got to be able to bring it with you from home as well.
Surely. Or because maybe it's like, you know, the racket with alcohol is like you have to buy it from the bar, you can't bring it in. Maybe this is just that. It's like, well, okay, now that it's legal, we got to figure out ways to let, you know, one person make all the money from it.
Yeah, where's the margin on this? It does seem kind of like That there's got to be an impulse buy sort of tax on this, that they're hitting you pretty hard to get it
delivered
to the venue.
Yeah, they've
got to
be like Amazonifying the weed market somehow, right? Like, this is for money. This is for profit.
But what, like, what kind of person is doing the impulse purchase where, like, they've bought the ticket to the show, they're knowing it, know they're going to the show, and then, like, 20 minutes in, they're like, oh, man, I really smoke some weed right now. Like, surely bring it with you. Smoke beforehand in the parking lot, sitting in the boot of your car.
Yes.
Like, what are you doing? I just can't believe this is an option. While we're still here with our, like, shitty-ass fucking alternative leafly bullshit where you got to pay $400 to have a teleconference over Zoom with some fucking technically a doctor guy who's like, yeah, anxiety, whatever, yeah, go nuts. And in fucking America, they're just like, oh, shit, I forgot to bring weed with me. And a guy brings weed to the fucking concert venue that you're at.
Isn't the whole fucking thing that we're forgetting is that weed literally grows out of the ground? That you can just fucking grow that in your house.
Yes, you can just grow your own.
They're like changing it so much that probably the stuff that grows out of the ground now, to anyone who's gotten used to smoking American weed, they're like, eh, that's not, I want all the other stuff in it, you know? Why can't I smoke it out of a little robot pen?
Yeah.
Grow it yourself. Yeah, my friend's got that medical script in Australia now. Mm. And he was like,
"Is it? What do you get?"
Apparently, it's insanely good. By all accounts, the quality of the stuff you're getting is like you're actually getting to get like nice strains, and it's all really high quality, and it's not that much more expensive than buying it the regular way.
Huh. He was complaining it was a little dry, but yeah, like with the, so you go and get your script where you say, I can't sleep sometimes, and they go, have some weed.
Yeah.
And then you go onto the website and there's a bunch of different strains you can choose from based on their characteristics and everything. They mail them out to you in pouches.
A medical doctor will tell you, you need Gorilla Taint 2.0.
Yes.
That is the only thing that will cure your insomnia. Electric Pikachu's cock is the only thing that will help your anxiety.
That's true, actually. The nice thing is that then you get your little prescription card and you can like take that shit from state to state with you. You can
I didn't realize around. That. I got friends that are just like,
take it on the plane.
I brought a bunch of weed with me on the plane. I'm like, you're insane.
I've got my medical stoner card.
If the dog at the airport smells that, it just has to throw up a shocker and let you keep going.
No worries, bro.
Shooting yet another dog that we can't train to do the shocker. So sorry, boy.
We're trying to breed a beagle with a wider digit spread on its forepaws.
It's such a hurdle. He wasn't too friendly, you know. He had it all under control. Just couldn't get that chakra up.
Bang, bang. There's also good news for those worried about sitting near someone who just ordered a pre-roll. The venue is smoke-free. There's no smoking allowed near the seats, but they did set up designated smoking areas around the perimeter. So you and all of the other dads can light up with weed that you bought through an app on your phone halfway through the concert.
Yeah. They're turning into Randy Marsh's America over there. It's true.
I just feel like the world is becoming a very sterile place.
Yeah, all of the dads are high. All of the kids are on ChatGPT asking whether they like the music.
Yeah.
Does my dad like me? I ask my dad a question and he just stared off into space for 45 seconds.
Dad keeps looking at me and saying, what?
To be honest, that staring off into space for 45 seconds, that is what dads have done since the dawn of time.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is just the role of a father.
Yeah. I asked my dad about this girl at school that I really liked, and after a minute and a half, he turned and said, oh, didn't know you were there. Fuck.
Oh, shit, dude, don't do that.
Whoa.
How long have you been standing there?
You just been watching me this whole time? Fuck.
Westfield Music Bowl does have a lot of summer concerts coming up, including Goose on Sunday.
Good.
Oh, shit, they got Goose?
They got Goose.
Yeah, wow.
You know you're going to want a couple of pre-rolls delivered to your Goose.
Oh, you're
gonna
want some pre-roll for Goose.
Pretty big goose heads?
Yeah, the Goosies out there.
Oh, man. I've actually been following Goose around the country. Dude, the Goosemobile.
I feel like there was a band when I was growing up in Adelaide that were called Goose.
This is them. They've made it big.
Maybe that's them.
That would really throw me if they somehow made it big.
to get name checked
in a weed story. Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Goose is an American rock band formed in 2014.
Thank God.
Gained popularity since early 2020, in part due to live performances with larger acts like Dead and Company.
Oh, well,
there we go. You do need your weed for Goose.
Continues.
You're going to have to riff some tokage to that, brother, for sure.
Goose released a 20-minute jam version of the Vampire Weekend song 2021. Oh, at the request of Vampire Weekend singer Ezra Koenig, who was a fan of the group.
I got unfollowed by Ezra Koenig at one point many years ago.
Devastating. What'd you do?
I don't know. I don't know what I did to piss off the guy from Vampire Weekend. Hey, guess what? Your hair and your outfits looked really stupid at the time that you were very popular. Take that.
Oh, man. We were just watching some movies with the kids yesterday afternoon, and I think Eleanor had been talking to them about watching Juno. And so we put that on, and then I started like flinching at Diablo Cody's incredibly overwritten dialogue. And then after a few like needle drops in the movie, my older daughter goes, "Huh, this song sucks." And I was like, yeah, this is what music sounded like back then, kids.
Yeah.
It was real fucking twee. We were in a really twee era.
People clapping. You know? People saying hey a lot. Mm. People were ironically pretending to look like they were from the late 1800s and playing banjos.
Yep.
But sort of dressing like that on a day-to-day basis.
Yep. That was like such a zeitgeist movie, wasn't it? Like that movie was like the fucking... Was that Manic Pixie Dream Girl? Was that like Pixie Dream Girl light?
Yeah, I think so. She definitely had some attributes of the Manic Pixie Dream Girl.
But it was 500 Days of Summer.
Yeah, I think what stops Juno from being a Manic Pixie Dream Girl is that she's not there to like just be a feature in the life of the protagonist, you know? Yeah. I think the Manic Pixie Dream Girl is the white girl that's like
Michael
the magical Cera.
I think he's the Manic Pixie.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have to remember that everyone wanted to fuck him for like 2 years for some reason.
Yeah, it's like it's like the magical Negro trope in movies where that's what it's called.
I know, it's just a word.
Jarring.
It's a word.
Jarring.
It's like, it's a well-worn trope in movies, like the Legend of Bagger Vance and everything, but they're never the main character of the movie. They're there to help the white character realize something about themselves.
Like Morgan Freeman in like...
Yeah, Driving Miss Daisy.
Yeah, or Shawshank.
Yep, yep. They're just there to enable the white character.
March of the Penguins.
Yeah, exactly.
All the penguins are white.
Well, there's something we can learn from penguins, isn't there?
There's that scene at the start of Juno where all I could see was pork swords. And it's like you just see cocks bouncing. It's like that's the Michael Cera version of like David Hasselhoff coming out of the water.
Yeah.
Do you think they used a stunt penis for Cera?
No, I think he's hung.
He wasn't. You didn't see him. He's standing on the porch talking to Juno, and then his running play.
Oh, I thought he was one of the track boys as well. It's been a long time.
He is one of the track boys, but he's like, I got to go catch up with my track boys.
Yeah, got to go catch up with my homies, my dudes. Yeah, I got to go hang some dong with my boys.
Hang dong with the boys.
Quote, I love the fact that you can see the stars and the clouds when you're watching and listening to your music, to the artist. So I'm excited for the partnership that we have here, Selena said. Thanks to this guy for inventing smoking some weed and watching a musical concert.
Crazy.
Really smart.
First time for everything.
I think that might have been an episode of the podcast, Punta Vista. Does that sound correct to you guys?
Agreed. Have we got a consensus?
We got there.
Yeah, we got quorum. Oh, Aiden, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. That was wonderful.
Do you want to hit us with those dates again?
Baby. We are 7th, both of those. Numbers from your mind.
Let's say all the numbers that it isn't first.
1, 2, 3.
Let's do elimination plugs. This is
an ever-recurring series. The 7th and the 15th of July at Comedy Republic in Melbourne. I actually have one in Katoomba. Oh. I think that's the 20... no, the 19th of July, something like that. Whatever. It's a Friday in July. And then, yeah, the Edinburgh Fringe, 31st of July through the 25th of August. But it's all on my website, AidenJonesComedy.com, or follow me on Instagram, AidenJonesComedy.
There'll be a link to both of those things in the episode description if you have a very terrible memory or you can't be bothered typing anything.
Yeah, if you've been watching musics high, then
yeah,
we'll help you with the dates.
No, if again, you're saying,
what?
Huh? Huh? You've been talking this whole time, this whole hour?
Where did you guys come from?
No, again, I really, really enjoyed the show. I highly encourage you to get out and check it out. I know it's winter. I know it's cold, but I went out on a Canberra night.
Dude, that was so
fucking cold, dude.
Wasn't it -6 in the morning?
Oh, honestly.
I had to catch a bus out of Canberra at 6:30 a.m. because I'm a fucking traveling hobo. Jesus. And yeah, man, it was like, I think it was -6 when we got up at 5:30 to drive me to the bus station.
A little nippy, you know? So you got no excuse in Melbourne. It's not getting that cold in Melbourne. Go out.
Getting down
see some
to 12
comedy.
Here. It's brutal. Horrible.
It's brutal out here.
It's hectic.
Why would you live in Queensland?
Goddamn.
Thank you, the listener, very much for listening. If you would like two of these a week, patreon.com/Punta Vista. It's value for money, I think. But I would think that because we make them.
Yeah.
We might talk to you on the bonus episode. If not, we'll see you next week. Stay safe out there. Bye.
Bye-bye.